today as we come to the table.
You need to know your audience. You need to know who it is that you're sharing with. Again, God will show you that. How do I reach this person? You share what God has done in your life. And as you begin to share with people what God has done in your life, then God opens up doors for you to share with them. And I have found that if I simply walk through that simple door of sharing what God has done for me or learning how to start a basic conversation, that it's not fearful, it's not intimidating. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and God will give you words to say and you will start being a witness. It is a very exciting, exhilarating experience that sadly, if statistics are true, the majority of the church has never experienced.
Sharing about your faith in God can be very daunting. A lot of people struggle with having the courage to speak about God. Maybe that's you. Maybe you feel uncomfortable sharing your faith. Remember that you're not alone in that difficulty. Most Christians face this at least once in their walk with the Lord. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will give you some pointers on how easy it can be to share about God. He'll also remind you that when you're afraid about what to say, God will give you the words. The Lord isn't just going to leave you stumbling over your words. He'll give you the clarity to speak and the words to change lives. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Acts chapter 6. Going to be looking at verses 8 to the end and maybe in a verse or so into chapter 7. But as you guys are finding your way there, I want to read it so we have a foundation. And then we'll all look at it together here in just a moment. But notice it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, 'This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us.' And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, and they saw his face as the face of an angel. And then the high priest said, 'Are these things so?'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, you've called us to be witnesses. I thank you for the example you've given us here of Stephen, Lord, being a witness even unto death for you. And Lord, although we probably will never face that type of testing or trial, Lord, I pray that we would be bold and filled with the Spirit, that if we ever did, Lord, we would not back down. Lord, all of us are called to be witnesses for you. And I pray as we look at this, Lord, we will see how you used Stephen as a witness. And Lord, let it teach us and let it encourage us to also have that desire to be witnesses for you, Lord, to have our reward laid up in heaven. And Lord, to be able to offer ourselves, whether it be fully in death as Stephen did, which probably won't happen, or whether it just be those maybe that reject us and mock us or whatever the case might be as we simply make a stand in normal life here in America. But God, we want to be witnesses. So Lord, open your word to us, be our teacher by the power of your Spirit, and we look forward to what you're going to show us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we come today to Stephen, the first martyr. It's going to be a two-part. This will be kind of the intro this week, and then we'll get into chapter 7. But really, it's about being a witness. And although Stephen is the first martyr, that's kind of the overall view of this. It's really about being what a witness is and how to be a witness. And we're going to see how God used Stephen as a witness and how we can be witnesses as well. And again, it's interesting. When you think about being a witness, oftentimes I think we misunderstand what that means, or rather I should say being a martyr, because we hear the word martyr and we think, well, that means you're giving your life for the Lord. Well, the word means witness. That's what it means. And so, yes, martyr has come to mean today giving your life physically and really dying for the Lord. But really, its pure meaning is simply being a witness for the Lord. Yes, that could be in actually giving your life on a foreign mission field or for many throughout church history that have died. But we are all called to be witnesses, to die to self in order to be a testimony for Jesus Christ right now. And that means we can be martyrs at work. We can be martyrs in our family. And not in the death sense, but we are dying because, again, what happens? We have to die to ourselves and desire to be liked by our friends and liked by our family. You know, we're not trying to be rude and make them dislike us. But to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I'm going to be a witness for the Lord and lay my life down in order to do that. And God is calling every single one of us and all believers around the globe to do just that. To say, Lord, I lay everything down to be a witness for you. And so I want us to be challenged over these next 2 weeks about being a witness and just how to be a proper witness for the Lord. Now, again, when we look at Stephen, remember who Stephen was. He was one of seven deacons that were appointed in the church. We talked about that. The church was growing, and we had this issue between the Hebrew widows, those that were raised in the Jewish tradition and were widows, and those that were raised in the Hellenistic or Greek tradition that were Jewish and widows. And the church was trying to meet their needs because, remember, widows were not able to provide for themselves in those days. And if they had no family to take care of them, the church would step up and do that. And there was a dispute about saying there was favoritism. So what they did was they appointed seven deacons. And by the way, if you notice this, all of those deacons had Greek names. So very wisely, they appointed deacons that had Greek names to minister on behalf of the Hellenistic widows because they felt they were being treated lesser, if you will. So they used a lot of wisdom in the way they did it, showing they loved them, showing they cared, putting people in place that would have concern for where they were coming from. And again, Stephen was one of those seven deacons. Now, again, remember, all they were servants. And that is, we would think about a deacon today being those that, you know, sweep the floors, clean the bathrooms, maybe putting in the toilet paper, you know, in between services to make sure that everybody's taken care of. Basic things in serving the church, cleaning up the parking lot or whatever. And yet we're going to see that God uses Stephen in amazing ways. And it makes a point to us, and that is simply this. Look, it's not just the pastor, if God even uses the pastor, or other people that we would put in our minds being used in larger ways by the Lord. It is you, it is each one of you that says, I'm going to be a servant unto the Lord. I'm going to be a deacon. And the idea behind that is being faithful in what God has called you to do, regardless of the details of it, and then God will be faithful to you. And so this is that Stephen. This is what he was like. Stephen, his name comes from the word Stephanos, which means a crown. Which again, certainly he was a prince and a king for the Lord in the way that he served the Lord. And he was certainly a witness for the Lord as well. We're going to see that Stephen starts out trying to reach them where they are. And again, toward the end, he's going to get very firm with them. And we're going to see two types of really ways to reach those that need a testimony. Really, in Stephen's testimony wrapped up into one. And how is that? The majority of the time, we're going to reach people in a very gentle, loving approach and just trying to reach them where they are, so to speak, and try to woo them over to the things of the Lord. But there are times when there are those who are very rebellious against the Lord that need a firmer rebuke. That's few and far between, but it does happen. We saw the Lord do that when he called the Sanhedrin children of Satan. That's not exactly a very a light way to approach someone. We saw John the Baptist call those, again, religious leaders that were coming to pretend they were repenting of their sins. He said, brood of vipers, who has warned you of the wrath to come. So there are those times where a firm approach is needed. And we'll see by the end of next week, there is a firm approach by Stephen. But most people need the approach that Stephen is going to take here at the very beginning. And that is more of a gentle and trying to reach them where they are. Thomas Aquinas, I think is how his name is said, a famous Christian and theologian, said this, and I quote, to convert a person to your view, you need to go over to where they are standing. Take them by the hand and guide them. You don't stand across the room and shout at them. You don't order them to come over where you are. You start where they are and you work from that position. And that is, you need to know your audience. You need to know who it is that you're sharing with. Again, God will show you that. How do I reach this person? You share what God has done in your life. And as you begin to share with people what God has done in your life, then God opens up doors for you to share with them. And I have found that if I simply walk through that simple door of sharing what God has done for me or learning how to start a basic conversation, that it's not fearful, it's not intimidating, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and God will give you words to say and you will start being a witness. It is a very exciting, exhilarating experience that sadly, if statistics are true, the majority of the church has never experienced. Typically, we're afraid to share our faith because we don't want to be a martyr. We don't want people to be mad at us or not like us or whatever the case might be. But we've got to get beyond that. Guys, we have to grow beyond that. Jesus said, I've called you to be witnesses, to go into all the world and be my witness. And so we have to learn, how do I do that to be a proper witness for the Lord? And God doesn't leave us alone without an ability to do that. He gives us his spirit. He gives us his word. And God shows us exactly how we're to do it and gives us the power to do so as well. And so again, that's what we're going to see with Stephen today as he does this again and just reaching out. And again, hopefully by the time we're done, you'll have more information on how to be that witness and be that testimony and learn how to share your faith because it's a part of God's will for your life. Well, also now we're going to do, I'm going to cover again just the last few verses of chapter 6 and maybe jump in a little bit there into 7. And then I'm going to take just a moment. I'll finish a little bit early this week. So when I'm done, I'm not wrapping up totally. Something else that God has put in my heart that I want to share pertaining to worship and the Church of America and what's happening right now that may be, hopefully be an encouragement to you as well. But let's jump into this and notice what it says here in verse 8. Remember the setting. The deacons have been picked. They're serving. The church is multiplying. And now we see Stephen stepping outside of the walls of the church to be that witness that God has called him and all of us to be. It says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, again, this grabs me right off the bat because as we already noted, I would expect it to say, and the apostles did great signs and wonders among the people. And certainly they did. No doubt they did great signs and wonders. But what I love here is, I guess a way to read this today would be, and the guy who swept the floor between services did great wonders and signs among the people. I like that because that makes me qualified. Not that I'm sweeping between the services, but it means you don't have to be somebody great to be used by God. You just have to be somebody who's willing to be faithful in the small things in serving the Lord. And this is the first thing I want you to note about really being a witness for the Lord. Be faithful in the small things. It's amazing what a witness that is to the world around you. Again, God will never use us unless we can prove ourselves faithful in the things he's already given us. So if you'll be faithful in the basics, God will give you more. And by the way, people around you will see that you're being faithful in the small things, and it's a testimony and a witness to them. Thinking about that day when we moved here, now we're from the South, we're from Tennessee. People ask, where are you guys from? We're from here, but God sent us out west for a while. Tracy went out there before I did. We weren't married at that time, but she went out there for a job at Los Alamos. She was a nuclear physicist and designing the new technologies of... No, she was a designer that worked for Los Alamos and got real neat, you know, interesting, even the strategic designs within these government facilities that need to be in place. She's a lot smarter than I am. That's just the bottom line. But anyway, and then I came out about I came out after that a few years later. We were there together for about 7 years. And I remember when God called us back here again, you know, you're excited. You know that God's called you. God's given the call. He's confirmed it. But the real test of being faithful in small things was about to kick in. I remember coming our first night that we shared. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. Don't worry. We don't have time for that. But I will say this. We had They were letting us use the clubhouse at the apartments that we were staying at. We're going to just do the study there. We tried to spread it by word of mouth the best we could. We didn't really have real connections, any connections here in Knoxville at all. Tracy was going to stay in the apartment and watch just in case any kids showed up. And I was going to go down to the clubhouse and meet the people there, you know, as we put the flyers up and all this stuff or whatever. I never get for getting down there to the door. And they'd forgotten we were meeting that night and they locked us out. I remember going, man, we're just starting. We can't even start, you know, and they locked us out of the building. And I thought, well, and then my sister-in-law, showed up, you know, and she's there and all. And so I'm thinking, well, Michelle's here. But honestly, in my mind, I'm thinking she came as a love offering. She's like going, poor Mark. He's starting a Bible study and all that. And I found out later, she really wanted to be there, which is cool. But I kind of thought maybe she was being nice, you know, trying to show up the first time or whatever and this kind of thing. So we said, well, we're going to still meet. So we went around back to where the swimming pool was back behind there. And there was somebody swimming. There was a lady in the pool by the name of Mala Ika. Come to find out, she was a Muslim. And so while she's swimming around and kind of coming over, stopping and listening, we kind of tried to share the gospel with her. Didn't really even have a Bible study that night that I'd planned. It was more of just trying to share and reach Mala Ika because I knew Michelle and I knew the Lord and all that. But I remember, you know, after that first night, you know, that could be discouraging, right? God has called you. You feel your call to the Lord. You go to show up, and there it is. You're locked out of the place you're supposed to meet, and you end up sharing the gospel with somebody who's swimming while you're talking. And yet God began to work in my heart saying, be faithful in the small things. It's not about how many show up or don't show up or what's going on. did you study? Did you prepare? Did you show up? Are you being obedient to me? And what God was watching in my life, are you going to be obedient even when it seems little, even when it seems unimportant, even whatever seems like, are you going to be faithful to me? And if you will be faithful, I can entrust you with more and I can do more through you. And that's going to be me the whole time, God would say, obviously, but I can entrust working through you if you show yourself faithful. So fellow brother and sister in the Lord, are you being faithful in the small things? God has much larger things he wants to do in your life, but unless you stick it out and be faithful in what God has called you to do, he's not going to be able to do it. But if you will, God will raise you up even to the place of being glorified like Stephen was. Now, we think about Stephen, and we think, yeah, but Stephen died because of this. But look at the honor that Stephen has now in his death. Look at the honor. Again, I'm not saying we're not out there trying to die, right? But think about being in heaven. Who do you think is going to be feel that more sense of honor, those who died for the Lord being a witness or those who really weren't a witness at all? I think about talking to someone in heaven, and sometimes, you know, play these scenarios out in my head, different things, but can you imagine being in heaven and you're talking to somebody and you're like, so great to meet you, you know, and I'm sure we'll know everybody right away. It won't be great to meet you, but to meet you in person, you know, because we're going to know immediately everyone, the Bible says. You'll know as you're known, but we hadn't officially met yet. So we'll be talking to them, like, so tell me, you know, what happened, you know, and you're like, well, you know, we were on this mission trip and we were back in the jungles of Africa and the tribal people came out and they killed all of us. We didn't, you know, they thought, you know, we were coming to harm them and we all died for our faith. They lined us up and cut our heads off. You know, whoa. Wow. Okay. Wow. Well, nice to meet you. And so what about you, Mark? What happened with you? Well, one time I was sharing the Lord and somebody was really mean. They said, you don't really believe the Bible, do you? And I said, yes, I do. And it was really hard. Now, I say that tongue in cheek, but again, sometimes we think that by being rejected, that it's this horrible thing. And I don't want to take away from that. It is. You're making a stand for the Lord. You're going to be rejected, but that comes with the territory. To have the honor of dying for the Lord, again, not something we're all trying to do, but can you imagine being a part of that very small club, so to speak, in heaven? And I think about Stephen. God elevated Stephen to a place of great honor in the kingdom of God because he was faithful in the small things. So again, I know I've overemphasized that, but again, because of that, being faithful in the small things, God made him full of faith, full of power, signs and wonders. Look at this. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now, first of all, notice this, some arose. Whenever you step out and be a witness, there's going to be some that arise against you. Be ready for that. It may be in your own family, it may be at work, it may be among those that used to be your friends and don't want to be your friend anymore, but you're being a martyr, you're being a witness, you're dying to yourself for Jesus Christ. Again, that meaning of the word martyr, it's all worth it. You're not trying to just do that, you know, to be rejected, but to live for the Lord. And so you're going to see that there's going to be those that arise against you and that fight against you. And again, we see this all through the Bible. It's the enemy that does that. The enemy will stir them to rise up against you. Remember, we saw back in Acts 6:17, says the high priest rose up against the apostles. And so the enemy was stirring them, rising them up. Again, in the wilderness in Numbers 16, it says that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram took men, and they rose up against Moses and Aaron. And so we see in all these instances, the enemy causing people to rise up against us. So don't let that shock you when you're a witness. But realize the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. And what that means is I didn't really understand as a baby Christian what it meant by standard. But come to find out as I began to walk with the Lord, it's a battle standard. It means something that God says, okay, the enemy's going to rise up against you. I will give you what you need to refute the enemy and rise up against them in speaking the truth in boldness and in power. I love that scripture that says Jesus, as he set his face toward Jerusalem to be that witness, that ultimate witness, and to die for all of us, he set his face as flint. And for those of you that sharpen instruments that you work with, you know what flint is used for. It's used to sharpen things so they cut better and are a better tool, even as God will sharpen you in your faith to be a better tool for him. But as they're being sharpened, what happens? Sparks fly. And so it's kind of like, you know what? Sparks may fly, but God's sharpening me and God's going to use me in greater and greater ways. And I find it interesting here. Notice it says about him that they couldn't resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. That was God was honoring him by giving him this supernatural wisdom and spirit because he had stepped out to be a witness for the Lord. And that God will do the same for us. Now, it notes here the synagogue of the freedmen. Who were they? These were those who had been freed from slavery. Again, Rome was, there was a large percentage of Rome that were slaves. And again, the only way you'd be free from that is maybe paying your way out of that. Maybe your slave owner letting you go. And this was across all people groups around the world. It wasn't some individual people group. It was slavery among all people groups. Whether you were taken in battle, whether you were owed a debt, whatever the case might be, born into it or whatever the case might be. But again, if you got set free, you were known as a freedman. You know, people know that, oh, you used to be a slave, now you're a freedman. There was a synagogue here where the freedmen of the synagogue were now working together to refute Stephen. Now, I find it interesting, if they're all coming together from these areas, Cyrenius, Alexandria, Cilicia, Asia, they obviously knew the word of God from the Judaistic viewpoint, and they wanted to refute Stephen and show that what Stephen was teaching was not wrong. You know, we need to stick with the old, you know, what we have here and what we know to be true or whatever. But what I love about this is although they teamed together, and although I think it's not a long assumption to or a wrong assumption to say they probably knew their Bibles fairly well because they're teaming up to stop this other guy and his doctrine. You pretty much have to know the Bible to want to stop somebody you think that's teaching something that's wrong. And yet all of them gathered around Stephen, one of them, one church sweeper, one church table waiter was able to refute them all. Again, why is that? Because Stephen was faithful in the small things. We know that he was a man of the word, which is another thing you need to do if you're going to be a witness. How do we know that? He was able to refute them all. So there's another point you need to make. If you want to be a good witness, you've got to be faithful in the small things. You've got to be a man or woman of the word. He was full of faith and full of power. That means you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means you need to be asking God to fill you with his Spirit. And if you add these elements together, God can use you as a witness and a testimony to those around you, which again is clearly what he's doing with Stephen. Now, this doesn't mean that our goal is to win every argument or that we can never be refuted on anything that we bring up, but it means that the truth that we're speaking can never be refuted. You cannot refute the word of God and the truth of God's word. Someone can try to say that it's not true, but the evidence and the power of the Spirit back it up. And so God was able to use Stephen in this way because he was faithful in all these elements of being a servant, if you will, for the Lord. And notice what happens, because they can't get him in his words or anything else. Look what it says, then they secretly induce men to say, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Now, no doubt he was talking about the fact that the law had now been fulfilled. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he didn't say, I came, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. No, the word of God is good, all of it. Old and new is the word of God. I didn't come to destroy it. It's the guideline of heaven. But I came to fulfill it because no man can live up to it. So he fulfilled it. No doubt Stephen was going, the law has now been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and now all we need to do is follow him, you know, and not follow the regulations of Moses. Well, to them, that's blasphemy, right? So they're saying he's blaspheming against Moses and God. Look at verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, all the religious leaders, as well as the crowds. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. Now, on that day, if you had a legal dispute with someone or something going on, you could literally go and grab them and take them to the legal authorities to deal with it.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Throughout the New Testament book of Acts, we see how the early church grew through faith, perseverance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Despite opposition and persecution, the apostles and early believers remained steadfast, spreading the gospel with boldness and love. The Christian journey isn't meant to be lived out alone. From the very beginning, God designed his church to be a community of believers who support, encourage, and strengthen one another. Are there Christian brothers and sisters in your life who have walked alongside you in faith? Have they encouraged you during difficult seasons and helped you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Take time today to thank them and to thank God for placing them in your life. Be a source of encouragement to others, carrying each other's burdens and demonstrating the love of Christ. Come to the Table is the broadcast ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you'd like to visit us in person, we'd love to meet you. Service times can be found on our website, thewaymedia.net. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can still join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app. which you can download from your app store or directly from thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But we pray that you've been encouraged by our study in the book of Acts. We look forward to having you join us again next time, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.